Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. From St. Paul's letter to Philemon. So if you consider me your partner, receive him, Onesimus, as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it. To say nothing of your owing me, even your own self, yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. This is our text. A runaway slave, a wronged master, an imprisoned apostle, and a crucified Lord. Welcome to the little book of Philemon. Of the 13 letters written by the apostle Paul, Philemon is the last and also the shortest. At a mere 25 verses, it doesn't fill even a single page of the Bible, and it can be read in less than 5 minutes. A reminder to you that you can read an entire book of the Bible while you are waiting in the doctor's office or for your coffee to brew. Do it. You won't regret it. This scripture, too, is breathed out by God, and it is useful for us, profitable for us. It's easy to miss, but worth our time. So what's it about? If you flip past this page but haven't read it, what is the letter of Philemon about? In brief, it's a piece of personal correspondence, a letter from Paul to a man named Philemon about his slave Onesimus. This slave who had become Paul's companion while Paul was imprisoned in Rome. Or as I said at the start, it's about a runaway slave, a wronged master, an imprisoned apostle, and a crucified Lord. And that's how we'll tackle this little book today. A runaway slave. His name is Onesimus. He only gets mentioned once in this letter, and one other time in Paul's letter to the church at Colossae. The name Onesimus means useful. I suppose it's a fitting name for a slave. Hey, useful, come here. Useful, do this, do that. Except when we meet him in this letter, it seems like his master doesn't think of him as very useful. At least not anymore. What do we know about this Onesimus character? He seems to have been a high-ranking personal slave, which means he'd been entrusted with the care of his master's possessions. Or in other words, you could say that he had the keys to the safe and he knew the bank account passwords. Before we get back to Onesimus, though, I want to think for a moment about slavery. When I mention that this man is a slave, you probably have a gut reaction against the practice of slavery. And I think that we're right to have that reaction. When God created Adam and Eve in the beginning, in his own image, he never intended for their descendants to be treated as property, as things. They were people in God's image and not just stuff. But God also never intended for there to be sin or death either. And yet sin entered the world and slavery of all kinds became the common practice across continents and cultures and history, including our own history here in the United States. I bring that up because I think there is a narrative sometimes in our society today that slavery is a unique evil to our own American context, and it's not. It was present almost everywhere. So it was a problem here, but not only here. What was unique in the United States and in other Western nations is that they ended the practice of slavery. Why? because of Christianity. I especially want the children who are here today, so all of you young people in the congregation, you need to hear this and know it. The Christian faith didn't lead to slavery. It ended slavery. It's important to know this and remember it. So if we go back to Onesimus, we're going back to a man who was a slave in the first century Roman Empire. And as I said, he was a slave who had access to the jewels and the silver. And he was a slave who swiped the jewels and the silver and then ran away. Onesimus was not only a thief, he was a slave, he was a thief, and he was a runaway as well. And I'm sure he never expected to meet his master again. Useful Onesimus? Hardly. He turned out, at least to his master, to be useless. And what he'd done was no small matter. If Onesimus was caught, his life was forfeit. His crime deserved death. As we consider Onesimus' sin, we should consider our own lives. A few questions for us to consider as we think of this man. We might ask ourselves, whom have we wronged? Whom do we owe? And what do we owe them? From whom or from what are we running away? Or would we like to run away? That's what Onesimus did. Onesimus hadn't counted on one thing, however. He hadn't counted on the fact that when he ran away, he would meet a man named Paul who was imprisoned in Rome. And he definitely didn't count on the fact that by God's grace, he would become a Christian. It's like the Lord said through the prophet Isaiah, I was ready to be sought by those who did not ask for me. I was ready to be found by those who did not seek me. Onesimus was not seeking the Lord. He was not asking for the Lord. But he found him there in Rome. And the surprising thing is that this slave who was useless to his master turned out to be extremely useful to St. Paul. St. Paul here is in his imprisonment in Rome, kind of a house arrest that he was under. He could have guests come and go, but he himself couldn't leave. And Onesimus turned out to be really helpful for St. Paul during that imprisonment. So much so that Paul says at one point, I would have been glad to have kept him with me if it had been with Philemon's permission. But now Paul is sending Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, back to his master Philemon. Sending him from Rome to the city of Colossae in modern-day Turkey, formerly known as Asia Minor. How will that turn out? A wronged master. Philemon, to whom this letter is addressed, is a man of note. He seems to have been a man who perhaps was wealthy. He has a household, and it seems to be that the church in Colossae is meeting in his house. Philemon is probably the pastor now. St. Paul calls him our beloved fellow worker. So here's a man who's not only wealthy, but a minister in the church. He's also a wronged master who could demand his slave's life. And that slave is returning to him. The question, of course, is what he'll do with this runaway, thieving slave. How will he receive Onesimus? As I said, according to the world's way of thinking, Onesimus was his property to do with as he pleased, demanding full repayment or even demanding his life. What will Philemon do? We might think perhaps of our own lives. We can ask ourselves questions like, who has wronged us? Who is it that owes us? Who is running away from us or avoiding us because of what they owe? But St. Paul offers Philemon another option. He says, Philemon, you have the option that you can have him, Onesimus, back forever. But you can have him back forever as a beloved brother, not just as a slave. A brother especially to me, Paul writes, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Paul offers to Onesimus the option of not demanding what the world would give him, but receiving what the Lord would give him. This slave, Onesimus, who has wronged him, whose sins stand between him and Onesimus, to receive him back forgiven and free in Christ. Will Philemon receive back this fugitive servant into the favor, into his favor and into his family, though he has been a wronged and injured master? He is invited to receive Onesimus not as a slave, but in the Lord. We also are invited to receive one another in the Lord, not in our sin, which certainly stands between us, which certainly breaks relationships and sometimes even demands repayment. But will we see one another in the Lord? Will we receive each other as brothers and sisters in Christ? An imprisoned apostle, St. Paul, who is awaiting trial before the Roman emperor, whose life will end with the swing of a sword before long, who takes the time to write this letter to Philemon, inviting him to receive back Onesimus. Paul, whose letter is full of affection, of a tender and good spirit. Did you notice what he calls Onesimus? I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. The care that he has for this slave. He's not saying that Onesimus' sin was small. He's not saying that Onesimus does not need to repay. But he is saying that here is one who has been humbled by his sin. And Paul is willing to take that sin and that shame on himself. Whatever he owes you, he says to Philemon, charge it to my account. I will repay it. St. Paul, who is willing to put himself into the shoes of this runaway slave and say, whatever he's done, count it to me. Charge it to me. He is willing to bear his neighbor's burden, willing to take on that load of sin and shame and even financial repayment for the sake of restoring these two brothers in Christ. What would we be willing to do to restore others to one another? What might we be willing to pay to restore relationships that are broken and reconcile Christians to one another? Would we be willing to put ourselves in the shoes of the one who has sinned and say, charge it to my account? I will repay it. St. Paul sees Onesimus as his son in the faith, as I said, his very own heart. And he pleads and urges forgiveness. I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. And how will Philemon refresh his heart? But by receiving Onesimus back, not as a slave, but as a brother. And Paul even says to Philemon, I will repay it, to say nothing of you owing me even your own self. I'm not sure exactly what Paul means there, but it seems to me that in some way Onesimus' faith in Christ came about because of Paul's preaching. And so Paul says, all that you would enjoy in Christ is because of me. He's concerned about this poor slave, but he's also concerned to make restitution to the master. Where did Paul learn to live like this? Where did Paul learn to lay down his life in love for his neighbor? He learned from the best. He learned from Jesus. A crucified Lord. Jesus is the one for whose sake Paul is imprisoned. It is because he has been preaching the death and resurrection of Jesus that he is arrested and in chains. And he knows the goodness and mercy of God to poor wandering sinners. Why, it was St. Paul himself who some years before had been out persecuting Christians, arresting them and wanting them to be put to death, when Jesus appeared to him and forgave him. And he knows who Jesus is. The one who is seated on the throne, the one who is interceding with the Father for sinners here below, because Paul had Christ intercede for him. And that's why Paul is willing to intercede for Onesimus. Who is Jesus Christ? He is the crucified Lord. And when I say crucified, you ought to know that this was the punishment reserved for slaves and those who committed treason. Jesus himself is the one, though he is Lord, who took the position of a slave, of a runaway and thieving slave. He is the one who paid it all in his own death on the cross. He paid it all for Paul, and he paid it all for Philemon, and he paid it all for Onesimus, and he paid it all for you and for me. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who was crucified that slaves may be made brothers, and that those who are estranged might be reconciled, that those who are running away in their sin may be repentant and forgiven, and those who have been wronged may be restored. This is what our Lord Jesus Christ has done. We, like Onesimus, have run away from God's service. We, like Onesimus, have injured our God in his rights, but it is Jesus Christ in his crucifixion who has found us. And it is Jesus Christ, by his grace, who works a change in us and who intercedes with us before the Father that we might be received into his favor and into his family again. And there's every reason to think that St. Paul, when he wrote about Christ to Philemon, was successful in what he wrote. That when Philemon received this letter with his slave Onesimus back, he was willing to forgive Onesimus' sins in the name of Jesus and accept him, not just as a slave, but as a brother. Church history, in fact, tells us that this Onesimus, perhaps the same Onesimus, became a bishop in the church, a bishop in Ephesus. You consider that the pastors of the early church, Timothy was pastor in Ephesus, and Onesimus may have become the pastor after St. Timothy. From a slave to a brother to a pastor and bishop, proclaiming the mercies of God in Christ Jesus that he himself had received. A runaway slave, a wronged master, an imprisoned apostle, and a crucified Lord. And you, who though you have run away and are a slave, who have wronged your master, have been forgiven by the one who has interceded for you so that you can be restored to usefulness again, to your God and to your neighbor. And this is what God's word does for us again and again, every single Sunday. It takes us in our sin, washes us clean with the blood of Christ, restores us to our Father, and returns us to our neighbors in love. And so I urge you this day to take up again the scriptures, to hear them, read them, learn them, mark them, and inwardly digest them. Because all scripture, including Philemon, has been breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God, that you may be equipped for every good work. May God grant this to us in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.